This is KGPR, Great Falls, public radio, the kind of radio that depends on you, the listener, to help out and keep us going. This is Dan Hicks. I get featured every now and then, and it's wonderful.
On today's program, Norma Ashby Smith, chairman of Early Risers, Thomas Risberg, development director for Alliance for Youth, and Christy Ponte Stroop, executive director with Alliance for Youth. Welcome to Voices and Views. Good afternoon and welcome to Voices and Views. My name is Tom Halverson, and with me for this interview, I have Thomas Risberg, Development Director for Alliance for Youth, and Norma Ashby Smith, Chairman of the Early Risers. Good afternoon to both of you.
Good afternoon, Thomas. Nice to be with you today.
Good afternoon, Tom.
And I think we'll start out with Norma Ashby Smith. Norma, how about telling us all about Early Risers and who they are?
It's my privilege. We are so thrilled. This is our 29th annual, and we've had this each year, and each year we select a different mission project. And this year's mission project is Alliance for Youth, which is the umbrella for this wonderful new organization called Youth Resource Center. And in a few moments, Thomas Risberg will tell you more about the YRC, which we're so excited and so proud about. But Early Risers represents over 30 churches in our city where we come together and we worship. We have wonderful music. We have a prayer that's given by a variety of people. We have an inspirational speech by a variety of people. And we have a nice continental breakfast. The excitement is that it's put together by such a cross-section of leaders and of people in our community who love the Lord, and we accomplish so much. And this year, there's some new things that we've added. First of all, we're a little bit later. In the many years before, we've met at 6:30 a.m. This year, we're meeting at 7 a.m., so people can sleep in just a little bit later. Secondly, we are meeting in a new location this year, the youth facility of New City Church, and it's located at 4114 North Park Trail in Great Falls, which is right next door to Hovind Equipment, the famous Caterpillar group, or not Caterpillar group, but farm implement group. And so it's real easy to find. And they have a huge parking lot, and you drive in there, and you'll see this wonderful building. And because of the virus, we are practicing social distancing. We'll have free masks for people that wish to wear them. We'll have hand sanitizer. So we will be really practicing care during this virus situation. But at any rate, it's open to the public. And for the first time this year, Tom, we have free child care. We're reaching out to a lot of the younger women in our community.
And what would one expect for the meeting? I see you're meeting every Thursday in September.
Every Thursday in September, starting with September 3rd, and then we move to September 10th. September 17th and September 24th. And to attend all four, it's only $20. And if you want to just come to one, it's only $5 each. And any money that we raise during this event will go to the Youth Resource Center under Alliance for Youth.
And I'm thinking there'll be a presentation from Alliance for Youth, or how does that work?
Yes. Well, you start out with a prayer. And a different person from a varieties of churches will be giving a prayer. And then we have the mission speaker, starting off with Christy Pontet Stroop, who's the executive director of the Alliance for Youth. And then we have music, and we have Crystal Benson, who is a well-known vocalist in our community and choir leader. She took a whole choir to Carnegie Hall this year. It's Great Falls Gospel Choir, and they performed in Carnegie Hall. So we're really honored to have Crystal. And then we have Kendra Neiswanger, who is a wonderful vocalist from the Gathering Fellowship. We have my cousins, which I'm really proud about. They're three young women. They're Malia, Olivia, and Felicity. They're really good musicians, and they're going to perform. And then finally, we have a barbershop quartet that's going to perform. So good music is really offered. And then we have outstanding speakers from four different churches that will speak. There's great fellowship. And then, of course, when they arrive, they get a nice continental breakfast that will be provided by a great caterer, the Electric City Coffee. But and Thomas, my guest right here with me, is speaking at the second session. And Thomas, this might be a good opportunity for you to talk about the brand new Youth Resource Center.
Thank you very much, Norma. And, you know, we really appreciate, you know, the opportunity to come on here and tell the community about the wonderful things that Early Risers is doing, and the Youth Resource Center is an incredible new facility. So back in 2019, so just last year, we, you know, saw in this community a real profound need to help our homeless children and our disadvantaged children. There was a great play put on by Great Falls High School students called Converge. And, boy, they made a documentary about it. And if people get a chance, you know, you can find it on YouTube if you just put in, you know, Converge, Great Falls. But these stories about the things that kids go through in our community, from abuse, neglect, dealing with drug addiction, with suicide, with mental health issues, with eating disorders, and, of course, homelessness. It really is unreal, the scale of the problem. And so I came out here to Great Falls in 2017. I consider this to be the just best, most wonderful community I have ever been to, ever lived in. I just am very grateful to be part of it. And you know, I never would have guessed until you kind of get beneath the surface and you realize that, you know, it's not that these folks are out, you know, on the street, right? They're staying in cars, right? They're staying in parks. They're in abusive relationships to have a place to stay. They're, you know, step parents, and there may be abuse going on there, but they have to stay there. They really kind of blend into the woodwork, but the profound issues that these kids face on a day-to-day basis, to have the things that we take for granted for the most part, right, of food and clothing and a place to do their laundry and just shelter, right, in some sense of security, it is unreal. And so we wanted to do something about this at the Alliance for Youth, and the community, our partners, have just been incredible. I mean, United Way, Opportunities Incorporated, the Indian Family Health Clinic, Great Falls Public Schools has been incredible, Benefice, Alluvian, really, you know, the list goes on. This community has come together to leverage and to partner our resources to make this happen. So I don't want to make this seem that this is, you know, Alliance for Youth in isolation. We could not do it without our community partners, and they have been incredible. And what the center will provide is a one-stop shop for homeless and disadvantaged children that will provide clothing, food, including a hot meal every day at 6 p.m., hygiene products, laundry facilities, shower facilities, and then a whole range of wraparound services from the HISET program, which is Montana's equivalent of the GED, to tutoring, employment services, connection to permanent housing, addiction treatment, mental health, a whole variety of it. So we are very excited about it and just love that groups like Early Risers, you know, have taken it upon themselves to help out. It's just a beautiful thing to see.
Well, Thomas, you have a great idea here, but you had to have a home, and you might mention where that home is, because that in itself is kind of a miracle.
Absolutely. So it is ironic, right, that we kind of had lacked a home, so to speak, with what we're doing. And we found our home at the Old Victory Church, 3220 11th Avenue South. And it's a beautiful facility, 16,000 square feet. Through the generosity of the community, we have been able to make a tremendous number of updates so that facility is safe. right? We have a camera system. We have doors, alarms, able to get, you know, the laundry, the plumbing, the electricity set up for that. You know, Lone Bro was integral in that. And Johnson Madison Lumber, a whole group of people that donated supplies, expertise, time. And so Victory Church, I can't even express how grateful we are to Pastor Gary and the parish there in the congregation. I mean, they've helped us out continually, and but for them being able to provide that facility, we could have never made it happen.
It's a beautiful facility right behind Super One Grocery, and just off 10th Avenue South. So it's easy to find, and the kids are finding it more and more, aren't they? They're reaching out. You're helping a lot to the public schools. Probably they're referring people to you, aren't they?
The public schools are certainly an integral part of what we do. And then another thing that we have done are our outreach barbecues, and that's been with the support of the Double Barrel Coffee House and Cafe, and they have just been unbelievable. We've had, you know, anywhere from 80 to 120 people. We've done them at the skate park. We've done them at other parks around Great Falls. And just getting out the word, letting people know that this is a safe place where they can come receive services and love and support. We've also been, and this is, again, Double Barrel, stepping up for the community, providing lunches every single day at Challenge Springs Park. And that's ongoing for folks that would need it here in the next few weeks. But we've also been, so every weekday from 11 to 1, they offer free meals there. And they've been doing anywhere from 100 to 120 meals a day. So I think that gives you an idea that that's at one site for 2 hours a day, and they're going through that much volume of the tremendous need that's there.
One of the exciting things, Tom, is the theme that ties right in with the Youth Resource Center. And the theme for this year's Early Risers is hope. And it's based on Psalms 31:24. Be strong and take heart, all of you who hope in the Lord. And I'm sure lots of the prayers and lots of the inspirational speeches that we will be hearing will be based on that four-letter word of hope. And that's one of the primary things that you emphasize in the work you're doing with the Youth Resource Center, isn't it, Tom?
Absolutely. So I'd say love and hope really are the two ingredients that any human needs to thrive, but certainly these youth that have suffered so much and have so much trauma and come in, right, and are cynical to some extent and kind of, you know, the world's been rough. And so to have a place like the Youth Resource Center, and I would love to have anyone listening. You know, we are able to schedule tours. It's tough with COVID, but, you know, we'd love to have people come see for themselves what we do. Our staff are just the kindest and loving people that it is their mission in life to uplift. And so I think hope is something of, boy, as a society we need, and especially these kids. And it's beautiful to see, because at the end of the day, we all want to know that we are valued, that we have a purpose in life, and to feel connected. And that is fundamentally what the Youth Resource Center is about. It is taking these youth and showing them that there is limitless possibility in this world, and that we're going to walk with them, get them the support they need, and that there's a reason for hope. I always say, you know, hope is a double-sided deal, right? You know, you got to tell people to have hope, and you got to show them why they should have hope. And the Youth Resource Center is, we want it to be a beacon of hope.
Do you have a couple of examples of some of the successes that you've experienced with some of these kids that have come in? We're talking 12 or 13 to 20. Is that the age span you're pretty much talking about?
Yes. Yeah, so we serve 13 to 20, as you said. And the two ones that are near and dear to my heart that are great, you know, success stories. And again, we only opened May 6th, but they've been there with us since the beginning. And so one of them was in a very difficult home situation, and one was living in, let's just say, a very trying and negative situation. And we have been able to, working with Opportunities Incorporated, They now are getting an apartment together, actually. They're, one of them is 18, one of them is 19. One of them has started college at Great Falls, Montana State University. And so they also have jobs. And that really, if you could meet these kids, I mean, they are at the Youth Resource Center often. And I mean, a total 180. You can see they feel empowered, that they, their whole demeanor has shifted. And it is because they got what they needed materially, right? We were able to connect them through our partners to the services that they needed to get them the housing, to get them employed, to get them started on a path to an education. But I think just as importantly, right, you know, Lisa Beavers is our director of operations at the Youth Resource Center. I mean, she takes a real interest and loves these kids genuinely. And you can see that they, I mean, I wish everyone could meet these kids because they're so overwhelm you with this enthusiasm and the zest for life. And you've just seen how that tiniest little spark, you know, can really be, you know, kind of nursed into this great fire. So it's just been beautiful to see those two, and we want to replicate that, right?
Do you see these kind of kids down the road serving as mentors for the newer kids that are coming in?
Absolutely. There is nothing like lived experience for folks to be able to connect with and to meet youth where they are when they come in and to help them, you know, get on the right path and then to stay on that path. So absolutely. We have lots, actually, of mentors with lived experience of homelessness and or, you know, growing up in poverty and that have suffered through trauma and abuse and dealt with addiction in their household and in their own lives. And so we very much so value the kind of authenticity that you see when folks, you know, this isn't something that they learned in a book, right? They've lived it. And so we have those folks at the center now, and we are actively cultivating relationships with folks with those experiences.
Are you open 7 days a week or just 5 days a week, or how many hours are you there?
So that is in transition. As of now, we are open from 2 to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday, and some of this is funding and staffing. We are actively in the middle of a capital campaign. We have rooms to sponsor. We need in-kind support. You can reach out to me if you're interested in supporting us. I'd love to speak with you anytime. My cell phone number is area code 406-590-7114. But those hours, we are looking to expand them, especially with the school year coming up and as winter comes, right? Certainly that's where the warmth and shelter becomes particularly important. But so for now, it's 5 days a week, 2 to 8 p.m. Come, you know, any of those times, we'd love to have you. And we are looking to expand those hours much later into the evening and then add, you know, your Saturdays and Sundays.
Right. Well, you can see, folks, why we as early risers are so thrilled to have chosen the Youth Resource Center, the brand new facility and opportunity in this community as this year's mission. And just like to mention that in the previous 28 years that Early Risers has been out there, we have donated over $80,000 to a variety of missions. And so each one that we've helped has been truly worthwhile, and they're all local. And we've had the Grace Home for homeless veterans. That was a very heartwarming one. We had a group of those veterans come and give their stories, and it brought a lot of tears to a lot of eyes that they didn't realize these people were right here in our community. And the same with these young people that we're talking about today. And it's so wonderful to reach down to that generation and have a hand to pull them up.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So anyway, Tom, that's a little capsule of the mission and Early Risers itself. We're just so proud that this is going strong and that we could postpone it for May and hold it in September. And if people have any questions about it, how to register, how to be a part of it, they could call me, Norma Ashby Smith. My number is 453 7078. If they wish to register on their own, it's $20. They can send their registration to Early Risers in care of First Presbyterian Church, which is located at 14th and Central Avenue in Great Falls. And we will just be thrilled to have you there. We like to have a count ahead of time to prepare for the breakfast. But if you suddenly don't know about your availability till the day of it, we sure wouldn't turn you away if you just appear at the door at 6:30 a.m. to get in to have some breakfast, and the program gets underway at 7. So again, the theme is hope. Be strong and take heart, all of you who hope in the Lord, Psalms 31:24. And we're particularly proud to some of our community leaders, all of the folks that are participating, but people who are really busy. And the one that I just heard speak the other night at an event in our community, and I've been told that he's a really good speaker, and that's our chief of police, and his name is David Bowen. And he gave a really heartwarming speech, and he loves the Lord, and he spoke from the heart, and everybody just loved his message. And another one that is in the same category is the chairman of our Chamber of Commerce in Great Falls, Shane Etzweiler. And he's very active in his little church out in Fairfield, Montana. It's a brand new Bible church. And this was built. We went out there on Mother's Day and attended that service, and we were so impressed with it. And he's a really wonderful spokesman. Actually, he was co-chairman of the Will Graham Crusade here with pastor from New City Church, and they just did a great job. And that was a lot of people who went to that were moved by the outreach of the Graham family and Will Graham, the grandson of Billy Graham. And he was here last September, and we were part of that too. So can you think of anything else you'd like to add, Thomas?
I just want to reiterate, you know, how grateful we are. You know, when I think of, you know, just incredible people like Shane and you know, Chief Bowen, Tom Moore, the superintendent, you know, Great Falls Public Schools, has just done wonders, you know, navigating COVID, helping out, you know, with anything you can to get these kids the resources that they need. Mm-hmm. We are really lucky here in Great Falls to have Trisha Gardner, you know, at the City County Health Department, a really committed, you know, diligent and effective group of public servants here. Mm-hmm. We could not make something like the youth resource happen without these community leaders, and we're very grateful.
And we should give a heads up to your wonderful executive director, Christy Pontitz Troop. She is a piece of cake, and of course, she came out of a very committed family. Her father was a very dedicated Christian man, and she's carried that on, hasn't she?
Well, what I say is, so she's the definition of a servant leader, right? If you ever meet Christy, it's a palpable that, you know, her life is judged by a different metric than society, right? And it is what she can give back, how many people she can serve. She's been at this, you know, for 15 years, right? She was integral in introducing the drug treatment courts here to Great Falls. And it's just uplifting to work with folks that, boy, it is hard work sometimes, I can tell you. You know, she has a lot of sleepless nights, I'm sure, mm-hmm. With a lot of the stuff that she has to deal with. And, you know, she is 100% committed. I know she's going to be doing an interview with you, Tom. And so, you know, I can just say I feel privileged to have met her and work under her.
And we're talking about Christy Pontitz Stroop, who is the executive director of Alliance for Youth. And it's not a new kid on the block. This organization has been around here for 30 years. And this element that we're talking about, that's the umbrella organization. But what we've been talking about that Thomas is involved in is the new Youth Resource Center that's just been out here in Great Falls since May. It's really new. But the mother organization is Alliance for Youth, and I think that's important to clarify.
Absolutely, because the Alliance for Youth really came out of two community coalitions that came together to address substance abuse and mental health issues amongst the youth in Great Falls, and they combined in 1990 to what we now call the Alliance for Youth. Mm-hmm. So this is really kind of the culmination of a decades-long journey of trying to find the places in the community where we can have the greatest effect on ensuring that our youth are healthy, both physically and mentally, and that they are supported so that they can thrive in adulthood. So they've been engaged in Great Falls Public Schools for decades, right, in all kinds of ways to prevent, you know, binge drinking, drinking and driving. They have lots of parenting programs that, you know, focus on supporting mothers and you know, young children, and then preventing abuse and neglect. And then they have a lot on mental health, right, whether it's mental health first aid, which is kind of getting lay folks to be able to recognize the signs and intervene and refer to treatment. So they've been at this for a long time. And this is a new service pathway, but with some pretty savvy veteran operators. We've been blessed to have a lot of folks that are helping us, and in particular the youth, right? We've had, before we ever did anything, we had about 30 young folks come through and tell us what they needed. Mm-hmm. And we certainly, you know, we have a youth advisory board that meets and talks about what do the youth want at this center, mm-hmm. because, you know, we want to create leaders.
Yeah.
But so it's been a wonderful experience and a back and forth. It's been an iterative process to get where we are today, and we're continuing it, you know, continually improving, right, and receiving feedback and then, you know, kind of going back to the drawing board and tweaking things.
And the culmination came with this film or this play that you said that was the original play based on actual things that are going on in this community, and it was filmed. And is that film then distributed? We're talking about Converge that was put on, you know, earlier this year. And is it out there, that film?
It is available on YouTube. So you can go on YouTube, and I've, you know, the search terms that I think I used, right, is like Converge Play Great Falls. You know, it may not be the first video that comes up, but it's not hard to find it on YouTube. And it'll blow your socks off.
It will. It is outstanding. It's no fiction. It's all reality. And it's all based on real examples in this town.
Yeah.
And just, we were there, we saw that film, and we were amazed. And it was written by a former local woman, I think, that lived from Great Falls.
Absolutely.
She had a connection to the community.
Yeah. Oh, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And the poise and just, you know, these difficult topics that they are able to, mm-hmm. you know, breathe life into. It was unreal to watch.
It was. Tom, we've just been talking. Is there anything you want to inject here between us?
Well, I just wanted to say this is by far the easiest interview I've ever done. And I want to thank Norma Ashby Smith, Chairman of Early Risers, and Thomas Risberg, Development Director with Alliance for Youth. Do you have any final thoughts of encouragement?
Sure. Well, again, if people want more information about Early Risers, they could call me, Norma Ashby Smith, at 453-7078. They wish to register for this series. They can do so by just writing a check for $20 in care of Early Risers and mail that to register and to pay to First Presbyterian Church, 14th and Central Avenue, Great Falls, Montana, 59401. We'd love to have you attend at New Cities Youth Facility out there on North Park Trail, 4114, right next door to Hoven Equipment, the farm implement business. And we just love to see you, and I can promise you that you will enjoy the fellowship and the camaraderie and the inspiration that you will find and more what you will learn on this wonderful mission project, Youth Resource Center, under the umbrella of Alliance for Youth. And I'm just so thrilled, Thomas, that you could be here with us today and talk about this very important subject.
Oh, absolutely. I'm incredibly grateful for the opportunity to share about the Youth Resource Center and Early Risers and this is the community in general and the wonderful things going on. And I will, if anyone, again, would like to reach out, would like a tour of the center, are interested in volunteering, would like us to support the center financially or in kind, they can call me, again, Thomas Risberg, on my cell phone at 406-590-7114. And they can also go to our website, which is AllianceForYouth.org, And there's tons of information about the center, and also, you know, you can donate online or find out, you know, about all the opportunities we have for volunteering and in-kind donations.
Thank you so much, Tom, for having us on today. We really appreciate it.
You're the best, Tom.
I want to thank you both, Norma and Thomas, and good luck with your mission.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon and welcome to Voices and Views. My name is Tom Halverson, and with me on the phone today, I have Christy Ponte-Stroop. She is the Executive Director with the Alliance for Youth. Good afternoon, Christy.
Good afternoon, Tom. Thanks for having me.
And thanks for being here on the program. From what I understand, you have a very big project going on, and why don't you tell us all about it, please?
Yes, we do. Alliance for Youth. You know, we've been an organization in the community for 35 years. And we, you know, our main mission is to work towards increasing healthy youth development. And as the years have gone by, you know, we've had a number of different programs that we've helped implement in the community. But we've always kind of had this vision of, you know, eventually having a youth drop-in center. And, you know, a couple years ago, two school years ago, we had our our youth put together a play was called Converge, and they spoke to the issues and the real issues that, you know, we're as service partners all aware of in the community, but the powerful messaging that they shared back and was, you know, that we really needed to have a center and a place that could support more of our students and our youth, and especially our homeless and our disadvantaged. We've been seeing our numbers increase in our community over the last decade. And, you know, we just couldn't sit idly aside and allow, you know, barriers to prevent us from moving forward from developing some sort of a center that could provide some basic needs and support it and support for especially our adolescent aged youth. So that's kind of 13 to age 20. And, you know, came alongside our great partners in the community to make this happen. And we've been, you know, fortunate to have the support of Victory Church, who's given us their former building, their former church. And we have transformed this building into something that is truly a center that can support youth and their families. But mainly, again, the Youth Resource Center is that new program that provides that basic essential needs for youth that are struggling with, you know, any type of disadvantagement or homelessness, you know, couch surfing, and whatever their needs are. And we're open from 2 o'clock in the afternoon right now till 8. Unfortunately, when everything kind of happened and we were ready to open the doors, COVID hit us. But we have found, you know, ways that we can safely open and still serve youth and, you know, bring them some of the needs that we have. So, you know, at the Youth Resource Center, you can, like I said, come and have the opportunity of having your basic needs met of, you know, showers, hot showers, a hot meal every day at 6 p.m., laundry facilities so you can come and do your laundry. You can get support in other ways in regards to employment support or education support. That we have a food pantry on site. We have hygiene kits that are on site. And honestly, just an incredible space that kids can come and rest and refocus and allows us an opportunity to build a relationship with them and rapport and then help them work on maybe some of those other barriers in their life that are creating, you know, challenges for them to succeed in regards to education or employment or, you know, other issues that are going on in their life. So we have opened the doors in May. We're seeing anywhere between 8, sometimes all the way up to 13 kids a day. And, you know, we definitely want to find ways that we can reach out to more youth. We have also partnered with some amazing additional community partners, and Double Barrel is providing these lunches, and we're providing the manpower and volunteers to go and distribute lunches every day, Monday through Friday, at Chowan Springs Park, and that's from 11 to 1 o'clock. And we're giving out anywhere between 80 to 125 meals a day this summer. During the summer, we're going to continue to do that until school starts. And then we also, you know, are doing an outreach barbecue every night at the skate park. We're really trying to, I guess, essentially build our street cred and let these kids know that we're here for them, and that even families, too. We have a number of other parenting support groups and other services within the organization that we can provide support to even families as a whole. So I think the biggest thing for us right now is moving into these next phases of, you know, uncertainty with COVID and trying to support kids as they're going back to school, and what that looks like. And it looks different for, you know, every family. And we want to continue to move forward with creating as many supports within this center as we can, especially around educational supports, because it is going to be a challenging year. And, you know, we've really just, we have a heart for these kids, and we really want to be able to do as much as we possibly can to keep them on, you know, a track with school or a track with employment, find ways to help them through some of their challenges in life, and continue just to be a support. And we have a heart to serve. We have a heart to serve our community, and we all have a heart to serve these youth. So I'm excited that we get to, you know, continue to be creative on how we're going to reach out to them. But definitely have some needs. We need volunteers. We need, you know, financial donations. We eventually would like to purchase this building. And we would also, you know, we need to support being able to continue to feed and keep people employed as well, to offer some of these services to these kids. So there's a number of ways that you can help us, and that can be monetarily, or you can donate individually wrapped snacks, bottled waters, or you can, you know, volunteer your time. You know, maybe you're retired and are a retired teacher, and you can come and help us in the afternoons and the evenings with these kids doing their homework or whatever their needs might look like. So we have a number of ways that you can come alongside us and support Alliance for Youth and our programs, and especially our new program, which is the Youth Resource Center.
I'm surprised. When I look at the numbers, can you share with our audience just how big of a problem this is? How many children are in need?
Yeah, so in 2000, and so your school year of 2018-19, we had over 475 students that experienced homelessness. The numbers were about the same for this last school year that we just experienced before.
And this is in Great Falls?
Then we had all the challenges. Yes, this is in Cascade County. This is in Great Falls. And, you know, then even more challenges with COVID this last year. So our numbers are, you know, they're pretty high, and they're pretty staggering, and or I would even say sobering, honestly. And we just can't, you know, consciously, I just don't think we can continue to ignore the fact that we have a societal issue in regards to youth homelessness and, you know, youth running away and our human trafficking. And, you know, as some of these, this isn't, it's not abnormal for these kids. You know, at least 40% of them, when they're homeless, will engage in commercial sex just for something to eat and a place to stay. We don't want to see that, you know, be the option for our kids and our community. We want to be able to intervene and provide the support that they need so they don't have to make a choice like that. So being that safe, kind of safe harbor in the community for these kids, we're low barrier. We don't, you know, you don't have to have a diagnosis for us to, like, bill for your time. These are services that we're offering, you know, essentially for free. But we need to have support from the community and, you know, other supports from foundations or grants, et cetera, to keep us going in order to do that. But I'm incredibly proud of the people, the staff, and the community and our partners, you know, to date, that have helped us even get going with this. This is something that we started last spring and last summer started talking about. And by, you know, a year later, we had it built and we were ready to go. Like I said, COVID has definitely created some challenges for us, but we can't not continue to be open. You know, we just kind of moved forward with kind of business as usual. We might have had to mask up and make our modifications, but we were, we considered ourselves to be essential because this is an essential problem.
Now, where do you get these kids from? Do you work with the court system? I'm sure these kids, or most of them, aren't running your organization. They might not even know you exist. But how do you
get a lot? Yeah. So it's word of mouth right now. Like I said, building that street cred. Kids talk. We also have service partners, so people that work, you know, with these youth in the community, and they make referrals. They'll let the kids know what kind of services we have. They'll make formal referrals. They'll make informal referrals. We have flyers out there. We have, you know, we are unconventional. So we have gone and shared flyers with everywhere. We've gone to tattoo parlors. We've gone to head shops. We've gone, you know, anywhere, gas stations. We have shared our flyers everywhere. To be handed out to let kids know what services are available to them at the Youth Resource Center. But again, you know, we're new, and then, you know, COVID came, and we don't have, I think one of our biggest challenges for sure was not having the kids having that access to their teachers in person. A lot of referrals would most likely be coming from our school district, from their homeless school liaisons, as well as their counselors. So when COVID hit, you know, that did create a challenge. But like I said, we've just been finding other creative ways that we can get the word out and let them know that we're open and letting them know what we can offer and that this is a safe place for them to come in and get these basic needs met and even beyond that.
And why do you think Alliance for Youth, why are you uniquely qualified to tackle youth homelessness?
Oh, I think we're just uniquely qualified because we have a lot of longevity behind us in regards to building new programs for our community. And then we also, too, I would just have to say we've built an incredible staff and people that are just humble servants that want to serve these youth and just genuinely have a heart. And I also have to give full credit to our partners in the community, you know, United Way, Great Falls Public School District. They've just been amazing for us to, you know, have their support behind getting behind this and knowing that we needed to, you know, do something that was really tangible for our youth and our community.
And is there an age limit? Do you work with these kids through adults or how does that work?
So right now, especially within the Youth Resource Center, our age is 13 to 20. So, because we do have other, you know, other services in the community that help homeless, you know, the homeless population. We do have the Cameron Center, the Rescue Mission, the Women's Shelter, the Men's Shelter. The reason why Alliance for Youth did a Youth Resource Center is because this was a demographic that was increasing in numbers in our community, and it was there was a gap in services. There wasn't services that existed for, you know, this age group in order for them to be able to access some of these services.
Well, when
especially your anyone 18 and below, because they can't go to the rescue mission, so they're
just from my experience. It seems like there are just a lot of children in Cascade County that need help, and there are a number of organizations out there. I remember speaking with Casa Can and how little of volunteers they have. I think they have like one volunteer per 70, you know, students. I want to call them students for lack of a better word. But there is a need for this, and I'm kind of curious why. What's filtering into this? Why are these kids having so many troubles, so many problems today?
I would say that, you know, our biggest underlying factor, so even when you're talking about our youth in the foster care system or in Casa Can, you know, in child protective services, and then it filters into dropouts and also filters into homelessness and et cetera, is substance abuse. We do have a, you know, it's pretty rampant in our community. and the substance abuse and the underlying mental health issues that are existing within these youth's homes and in their families, that family dysfunction piece. You know, these kids that you're seeing that are coming to our center, accessing these services, or, you know, services are the majority of them that are running away. You know, they're not, about maybe 20% of those kids might be the rebellious ones, but they're not coming to access our services. You know, we're really looking at that 70 to 80% of these kids are choosing to leave their home life because they're either choosing to leave their home life because of the mental health and the substance abuse addictions within the home and the family dysfunction, or, you know, their family's homeless and they've just been completely displaced. And so there, you know, we do see the majority of this is truly and honestly relates back to substance abuse issues within our community.
I would like to go over some of the services the center will offer. I know we touched on them a little earlier in the interview, but you said you the center will provide food, including a hot meal, clothing and hygiene mm-hmm. products. You want to continue on with what you have to offer, please?
Yeah, so initially with those basic needs, again, great place to come and rest and refocus. We've got relaxation, you know, for you to be able to just plug in your Wi-Fi and charge your phone, take a, you know, rest, refocus, do your laundry, take a hot shower, get a hot meal, access hygiene products. If you need hygiene products, we have a food pantry. You can access some food. And then beyond that, we have youth advocates and also peer advocates, you know, that have kind of have that shared life experience that have been trained and are on duty to help support some of these kids with some of their additional needs. You know, maybe they need support with finding housing. Maybe they need support with their education or with employment, with transportation. And we kind of move forward with helping them address some of those issues. But first and foremost, it's all about building relationships with them and letting them know that this is just a safe place for them to be and get some of those basic needs met. Now, in regards to the clothing, we're not a drop site for clothing. We have so many clothing sites that are available in the community for kids to access clothing, and they even have the Emily Center, which is, you know, specifically just for teens. So we're working with our partners to provide more clothing vouchers so that they can go and pick out their own clothes, because we just don't have the manpower nor the space. I mean, we have an amazing building, but we just don't have the space to have that level of a street, off the street clothing distribution site.
Now, you mentioned physical needs. How about emotional needs and social needs? Do you host events? Do you get these people involved with society one way or another?
Absolutely. And we're continuing to right now work on with our partners. So this facility is just, it's amazing. And it's allowing us to have space that can be available for our service partners, you know, Gateway Addiction Services to be able to come in, Alluvian Health Services, Benefice Health Systems, for them to be able to come in and do, have outreach days and then meet the youth here at our center and offer those services within the center. We really want to essentially try to make this as much of a one-stop shop for kids to be able to come and find those supports so they don't have to, you know, deal with the challenges of going from this place to that place and transporting and making appointments, that kind of stuff. So they get a lot of supports, and we're continuing to build more of that within this building and within our programming. In regards to events, yeah, I mean, we have a number of events that we continue to host, and a lot of them have been around, you know, building hope and really wanting getting that message out into the community that we don't need to have, you know, operate with a lack of hope or a lack of trust, and, you know, let's see how we can build, you know, reverse that. So even next Tuesday, we have a big back-to-school event, and we're calling it Hope Fest. And we're excited that we're going to be able to open up the doors for at least the first 250 people to come through, get backpacks, back-to-school supplies, free haircuts, a meal, access hygiene kits, access all their, you know, back to school needs. We'll have Great Falls Emergency Services here doing, you know, health checks and COVID testing if we need to. And, you know, just providing an opportunity for youth to feel supported in the community and get some of their needs met, especially prior to going back to school. Trying to get kids excited, trying to help them, you know, with whatever kind of challenges that they might face with getting back to school. And we'll have even some free face masks that have been hand-sewn by some of our local community members. So each child will get a free face mask as well to help them with going back to school. And we just want to be able to support our school district as well as these kiddos and these families with getting back to school and whatever we can do to help.
With regards to this event, it is Tuesday. Can you give us the time and where you're going to be hosting this?
Yeah. So it's on Tuesday of next week, and it is 12 o'clock to 8 p.m. And it is at 3220 11th Avenue South, which is kitty corner behind the Super One off of 10th. And it's just going to be a very fun event, live music, food, and an opportunity to get what you need to get you back to school.
And in the world of COVID-19, you're speaking of a lot of people, 250 people. Are you practicing safety precautions? How's that working out?
We are, yeah. They will have to do, please don't come if you're sick. We will have health screenings for each person. You'll have to stand in a line 6 feet apart and kind of go through our building and the outside. The majority of our services will be outside. But yes, it will be something with practicing social distancing and wearing a mask and performing the health screenings will all be done in order for us to achieve this. So we have a lot of hands on deck, a lot of volunteers that are coming to support us and achieving that and maintaining that we can create, you know, a safe place for and maintain the guidelines, you know, directed by the governor.
I'm thinking, do you have any of a case where someone came in and they were really despondent and you really helped them out? Is there a real nice success story? And on top of that, how about your passion for this? I imagine you're not getting rich in your type of work, or maybe you are. But I'm just wondering, your passion for this, where does it come from?
Mm-hmm. So, actually, I guess that was two different questions. Your first
yes, it was.
One was just, I'm trying to remember what the first part was.
The success stories. So have you heard question. Anybody? Do you have anybody going through your program?
Oh, yeah.
You're proud of?
Success stories. Yes, we do have some success stories. And those, you know, even those few, not few, we've just started in May, and we've been able to house 3 kids successfully so far. And then you know, really helped some students getting on back with school. That was great. We were so excited to get some kids that hadn't even talked to a teacher, completed any of their school packets. We got them here. We got them just wrapped around in supports and got them caught up with school. We have a young gentleman that we have, came to us in a pretty fragile state and is in college, enrolled to go to college this next semester, is employed, just got housing, and is, you know, gone through training and now is a peer advocate for his peers, someone who can come and share that shared experience and life experience with other kids that have come, that are, you know, going through the same situation. He had a number of kind of barriers within his home life and was couch surfing, didn't have a place to stay. And that's all been changed for him in a couple months' time. And this is a place where he feels completely supported and safe. And he's been able to share that, too, with a number of people. And he's not the only one. We do have, you know, like I said, we have a couple other people that we've been able to place so far. And then just additional youth of, you know, some come for a day and then we might not see them for a couple weeks and then they're going to come back again and maybe get a hot meal and take a shower. You know, this is a transient population right now. So really it can be, I feel like it's going to take us a while for us to build that, like I said, that street credibility in order for, you know, kids to know that this is a safe place and then letting other kids know. But it's also to, You might see them every day for a couple months, and then you might see them just here and there whenever they need to feel supported. In regards to my passion, I grew up in an amazing family where I watched my family, especially my parents, you know, they were always servants for other people and giving back to their community. And I, you know, recently just lost my father. And, you know, when you think back to some of the things that were taught to you during a time during that, or the legacy that you're going to carry on after a parent passes away, there was one thing that was always said to me growing up, and it just really resonated with me lately, and it kind of leads to why I have been in this work and why I choose to do it. And it pretty much is if you're going to, you know, you can be anything in life, but if you're going to be anything, be a blessing. So for me, it's just however I can find ways to be a blessing back to my community and to other people. And I've been fortunate enough to find a team of dedicated and amazingly talented individuals that want to come alongside me and also be a blessing to others.
Now, from what I understand, you are in a fundraising mode. You want to talk about maybe some of the sponsorships and that type of thing, please?
Yeah, we are. So we are in a capital fund campaign. It's definitely, we were doing really good, and then it came down to a trickle when COVID hit, and that's understandable. You know, we totally get that. But we do have opportunities for you to be able to be part of this mission, and you can sponsor a room. You can have, there's several rooms within this facility. You can sponsor a room. You can donate to, you know, different levels, or you can just find other ways to give as well. Like I said, in regards to hygiene products, individually wrapped snacks, water, those are all things that we, you know, we need, and we go through quite a bit, especially during the COVID, you know, season with the bottled water. And we'll probably continue to see that be a great need. So there's, you know, yes, monetarily, you can sponsor a room, you can support our organization, you know, at different funding levels. And then you can also, too, just support in, you know, just providing us with different individual items.
And how about some contact information and final thoughts, please?
You know, yes, so you would reach out to me, Christy Ponte-Stroop, at 406-952-0018, or you can also go out to our website, and that gives you at allianceforyouth.org, and you can see all of our different programs that are available and all the different contacts of who you can reach out to. And also, there's a great opportunity for you to donate, an easy way to donate through our website. And any final thoughts is just we're honored to be a part of this community and, you know, humbled by the work that we get to do and our partners and just the support that we've already received so far. It's been remarkable to see how we have transformed this building with pretty much next to nothing. And that's all been with volunteers. And so we're just incredibly grateful for our community and want to, you know, just see how we can continue to do more to serve these kids and just really implore the community to come alongside us and support us.
I want to thank our guest today, Christy Ponte-Stroop. She is the Executive Director of Alliance for Youth. Thank you so much for the interview, Christy, and good luck.
You're welcome. Thank you, Tom.
Voices and Views is a news and public affairs program produced by KGPR and airs each Saturday from 4 until 5 p.m. If you have a news or public affairs topic you would like covered on the program, please let us know by calling us at 268-3739 or by emailing us at kgpr@gfcmsu.edu. Please join us each Saturday at 4 p.m. for Voices and Views on 89.9 KGPR.